According to a survey, 40% of the people in United States, they claim their stress in their life is coming from their workplace.
They do what?
The stress in their life comes from their workplace.
Life.
The stress in their life comes from their workplace.
Those the what in their life?
Stress.
Stress in the life comes from the workplace.
Yeah, confronting the workplace.
Whether
they're coming
from
India and they're engaged in the workplace, so the stress is coming from that.
Oh, the stress is from the workplace. Yeah, okay. So, all right. Only 40%?
as per the survey.
Yeah. So, what is the question?
So, the question is, how to deal with that? I mean, how...
How to deal with it? Now, you have to... how to get free from the stress of the workplace, that's what you're asking. Yeah. The first thing you have to understand that you're not really being maintained by your job. You see, we think we depend on that job for our livelihood. That's why we're in stress. Oh, if I get laid off, how am I going to survive? You know, there's all this anxiety. Oh, if I get laid off. But you have to understand, God is actually providing everything for you. There is one supreme conscious eternal, and he is providing all the necessities. The elephant, he eats much more than you do, and he's not in anxiety about losing his job. Is it? Prabhupada explains very, very nicely this point. You see, the animals are not worried about losing their jobs. They're not anxiety about their careers. They eat, sleep, mate, defend. Whatever is there, they just do it. They don't have to go to a psychiatrist. You see? But the human being, you see, has greater intelligence than animals. Therefore, the human being should be living more comfortably, more stress-free than the animals. But actually, the human beings are more stressed out than the animals. That's a fact. Because we're in ignorance of our spiritual identities, and we're ignorant of the fact that God is maintaining us at every minute. If you put your complete faith in Krishna or God, that He will never let me, as long as I'm devoted to Him, He will absolutely never let me starve. He will always take care of me. If you have that faith, then, you know, if I lose this job, will Krishna give me something better? I have nothing to worry about. He'll never let me starve. But as long as you pin your idea of security and peacefulness on your relationship with that company, you're going to be in stress. Krishna is the one who provides, not your company. Do you eat money? Do you take a salad, a $100 bill salad? You don't eat money. All the necessities of life are given by God and not given by the Texas government. You're working for the Texas government. Yeah. Texas government is not provided. They don't manufacture food. God is manufacturing the food. Every single necessity of life that you're utilizing right now, it's all given by God. Every bit of it. And He can easily maintain you. In fact, when you took birth in this world, the Lord made sure there was enough for your maintenance here. Personally, the Lord has already seen to your maintenance for your whole life, and your family as well. It's already covered. It's already arranged. Every time a baby takes birth, the Lord arranges that baby will have everything he needs for his whole life. It's already prearranged. So why be in anxiety? See. No reason. Yes, sir.
Oh, adding to that, why people are poor and why people have just owned everything and they own, and that's part of not happening.
Why people are poor?
Why are people poor?
Yeah. The reason we do see starvation and poverty in the world is not due to a lack of necessity. is due to the mismanagement of the government, due to exploitation. There is ample supplies to feed everybody sufficiently, but due to mismanagement by the government, we see there's so many people in difficulty. Some greedy people will hoard. Like Gandhiji, he said, there's enough for everybody's need, but not enough for everybody's greed. Greed is the problem. The necessities are there for everyone, but some people are taking their unfair share, and therefore some people are suffering. That's the thing. So we have to train people how not to be greedy. That's our hope. That's one of the missions of our Krishna Consciousness Movement. We want to tease people. You see, they're thinking, the more I can lord it over this material world, I'll become happy. But it doesn't work. The more you put your faith in God, instead of your faith in greed, or your faith in money, that is your happiness. So, the poverty problem is simply due to the greedy people who are taking more than their share. That's all. There's plenty for everybody. There's plenty of food. Just like I remember I saw in the newspaper one time. There was a huge crop of oranges, a bumper crop in Southern California. So instead of putting them on the market and the price going way down, they just let them rot. There was mountains of beautiful oranges. They could have driven across the border to Mexico and fed the people there who were in more impoverished condition. But no, they just let them rot. Huge mountains of oranges, they just let them rot. So this is due to mismanagement. The governments are not... We have very much improper governments in the world. They're not God-conscious. These governments are not God. This is like the European Union. Look in their founding document and see if there's anything about God in the founding documents of the European Union. Absolutely nothing about God. Nothing. You see, that's the modern tendency in government, getting God out of it. Get God away. So that, therefore, there's so much suffering due to lack of God consciousness. Not a lack of resources. Yeah.
It also depends on... what the person has prepared himself according to his karma also. Prabhupada says that one can afford a good apartment according to his
ability. Yeah. Yeah, one individually it's based on karma. If I was very sinful, I was a very sinful person who exploited people, my previous lifetime, then I will, and took advantage of people, was a greedy person, exploited others, and didn't care about their poverty, then I'll become a poverty person in this lifetime. And there's also that aspect of karma. Is there. Yeah.
Can day-to-day stress be actually used for in our growing our spiritually? In growing spiritually.
Growing spiritually, yeah. Yes, this is the art of bhakti. Instead of being bewildered by stress, you use it as a springboard or a stepping stone to advance yourself on the pathway of self-realization. We see this example. There's a great devotee of the Lord, Kunti Devi. She was from the palace. I mean, she was used to living a comfortable palace life. But then her sons were sent into exile by this big gambling man, of Duryodhana and company. And they were living in the forest, man-eating demons. It was horrible. No comfortable bed to sleep on, no room, just living in the forest with man-eating rakshasas. They were almost burned to death in a palace of shellac. So many anxieties she went through with her son, the Pandavas. But when the whole thing was finished, and now she's back in the palace, and Krishna is there, and now he's getting ready to leave Hastinapur, going back to Dwarka. And she says, Krishna, Vipada Shantashantasha Tattar Tattar Chagangara. Bhavanam darshanam yashat aparamanam darshanam. Says, my dear Lord Krishna, I want more calamities. Give me more calamities. Because when the calamities come, then I can do nothing but see you and be absorbed in thinking of you. And I know when I'm absorbed in thinking of you, I will not see birth and death anymore. So, one who is a little trained up in the science of bhakti, he doesn't become disturbed by distress. He says, this is great. This is a chance for me to go deeper into my relationship with God and realize this material world is not my real home. Another example is a businessman. A very successful businessman, the market can be a bear market or a bull market, doesn't matter for him. When the prices go up, he sells. When the prices go down, he buys. So every day, his business is growing. Doesn't matter up or a down market, doesn't matter to him. He just keeps growing his business, becoming a little richer every day. Another day, another dollar, you see. So one who is trained up properly by bona fide spiritual master, he learns how to do the same thing spiritually. Whether happiness comes or distress comes, he uses either one of them as a way to move himself forward spiritually. Another example is sailing. How many of you ever sailed in a sailboat? Yeah. You can sail into the wind, can't you? For a layman, that's hard to understand. You know, I used to think, well, you know, you want to go from point A to point B and the wind is blowing towards you, how would you ever get out of the harbor? But actually, the laws of physics, it's amazing, you can actually sail into the wind. So using stress to advance is like sailing into the wind. The wind can be blowing the direction you want to go, it can be blowing the opposite direction, but still you can get to where you want to go. So one who is trained, devotee of the Lord, working under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, he is advancing himself in all conditions of stress, happiness, success, failure, honor and dishonor, heat and cold. Krishna says, Matrishvashashtakontayashitoshnasukadukada. The non-permanent appearance of happiness and distress and their disappearance in due course are like the appearance and disappearance of the winter and summer seasons. One must learn to tolerate them, O Sayana of Bharata, without being disturbed. So it's a fact you can use those things to advance yourself. Never become bewildered by any situation. That way you become a great conqueror over the material nature. Any other questions? Yeah?
You mentioned how everyone who identifies with this mortal body must become stressful.
Yes.
Because of fear of death.
Right.
At the same time, there's a great problem in societies all over the world with suicide.
Yeah.
So why do people do that?
Someone who commits suicide, they're very much in the mode of victory. They're so frustrated and miserable, they just want to end their misery, but they don't realize the karma of suicide will make them even more miserable the next night. In other words, they wanted to destroy their gross body by suicide. Do you know that there's a type of being that doesn't have a gross body? He's called a ghost. He has a subtle body, he doesn't have a gross body. People who commit suicide, they become ghosts in their next life. It's a very hellish nightmare to be a ghost. So, the most foolish thing they can do to commit suicide. Most foolish thing.
Is it the next life or the same life, because they have not completed their term.
No, it's the next life. It's considered the next life. They finish that gross life. Their gross bodies finish. Their next life, they're ghosts. And they must suffer as a ghost for a long, long time. Finally, they have a chance for another gross body again.
Hmm.
Very sad thing, someone commits suicide. There's no reason to commit suicide, you see. If you realize you're not your body, you can... Sometimes it said sannyas is civil suicide.
Mm.
You deny all the relationships of the material world and just say, my only relationship with God. But they don't commit suicide, they just cut off all their identities.
Mm.
So, if you're not happy with your identity, it's simple. You can philosophically negate it. It's like now people want to switch genders also. I really hate being a guy, I want to be a girl. So, you know, I'll do some surgery, take some hormones. But that's not the solution.
Mm-hmm.
We understand you're not happy thinking I'm a male, because actually you're not a male, you're a spiritual being. You're not that male or female body. So changing genders to give, you know, doesn't really satisfy you because you're still in the material consciousness. So, being unhappy with your identity and wanting to either change genders or commit suicide, it's ignorance of the fact that you're actually not, you have nothing to do with that body. That body which you pay your source of misery, it's not even you, it's just a garment. It's like now you're wearing a white shirt, tomorrow you're wearing a green shirt. Your body is simply a garment that you're wearing right now, that's all. So as long as you identify with a garment, if I told you, if I trained you in your whole life, you know, I gave you a red shirt, I made you wear it every day, and I told you, you are a red shirt. That is you. You see, and then something came along and your red shirt got ripped or got a bunch of blue ink all over it, you might be in great anxiety. Because you thought that was you. That's how we're trained. We're trying to think on this body. The body is just a garment. It's not you. You are not that body. It's just a garment. So, one who identifies with his body, he's going to be in anxiety.
Mm.
So, killing your body is not the solution. Just kill your identification with the body through transcendental knowledge. I'm not the body, I'm a spiritual being. Now you've annihilated your false identification with the body. So killing the body is not the solution. Going through a gender change is not the solution. The solution is to understand I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna or God. That is liberation. And that will free them from their anxiety. But the psychiatrists don't teach this. The government doesn't teach this. They keep people in illusion and they exploit them. We want to put a stop to this. We want enlightened government leaders. We want enlightened college professors. We want enlightened school teachers. Enlightened movies coming out of Hollywood and Bollywood that elevate the consciousness, not degrade the consciousness like they're doing now. Any other questions? Time is up. Okay. So now we're going to the next part of the program. Prasadam. And, okay. Anybody, and when they can get books now.
Yes, they can get.
And anybody who wants to get a book, there's just I recommend especially Bhagavad Gita. You can give a donation, some suggest a donation to cover the printing costs. We're not really selling them, and we have to recover the printing costs. So anybody who takes a book, you can bring it up here, and I'll give you a written blessing in your book. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.